first, perfectionism in college students is increasing. According to data that surveyed British, Canadian, and American students, perfectionism is up 33% since 1989. A big part of perfectionism is about putting pressure on ourselves to meet high standards. Lots of people can struggle with that. Here's a clip of writer David Foster Wallace in an interview with WNYC in 1996, talking about his own struggle with chasing perfection.
You know, the whole thing about perfectionism, the perfectionism is very dangerous because, of course, if your fidelity to perfectionism is too high, you never do anything. Because doing anything results, it's actually kind of tragic because it means you sacrifice how gorgeous and perfect it is in your head for what it really is. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of years, I think, where I really struggled with that.
Jane Addams is a social psychologist, writer, and coach. She recently wrote a piece for the New York Times called More College Students Majoring in Perfectionism. Jane, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. It's nice to be here, Judith.
And how would you define perfectionism, Jane?
Well, it's an enduring personality trait, and it is a quality that makes people need to live up to a certain standard, whether it's theirs or someone else's, to be perfect in some specific, if not every way. Perfectionism isn't usually just about college performance. If you're a perfectionist as a student, you're probably a perfectionist in other areas of your life too.
It seems like everyone is different, and so I'm guessing everyone's idea of what is perfect is different too. How do we form those ideas and those images?
It's hard to know. It may in fact be constitutional and innate. It may be reinforced by your culture. In some cultures, being perfect in what you do is seen as very important. It may come from nurture as well as nature. That is, if you are brought up in a family that that celebrates achievements, particularly academic achievements. And some people, you know, it's a quality that some people have, and other people, it never shows itself. If they do have it, it's not an enduring personality trait.
And you reference this a little bit. So some of it's coming from ourselves and some of it's coming from others. Is there also a sense of perfection or what is perfect that we get from the society as a whole?
Oh, sure. One of the interesting things about that study is that it looked at three different aspects of perfectionism. And the first, which is the one that speaks to most of us, is self-perfection. You know, we set our own standards and we set them high and we fall short if we don't live up to them. And if we have them, you know, to an overwhelming degree, we find a lot of behaviors like the one that David Foster Wallace talked about. You put things off and you procrastinate them. If you're a perfectionist, because if it will never reach the image you have of it, whether it's a painting or a term paper or a novel, why would you start it? Mm.
So internally,
self-oriented perfection, it can in fact be paralyzing and very stressful. And I find in I'm a coach mostly for parents of grown kids or young adults. And I found in my practice and in the practice of other colleagues that parents were coming to us in January disturbed by signs of stress that they'd noticed in their kids when they were probably closer to them in physical proximity than they had been since September. Mm. And for many of it, they seemed to ascribe it to this need to live up either to their child's own standards or to the standards of others or the standards set by social media.
Yeah, let's look at that, Jane. So social media in kind of the large sense is a very, very new phenomenon for young people. It's probably been around for most or all of their lives. But how is social media making perfectionism a different issue today than it was maybe 20, 30 years ago?
Well, 20, 30 years ago, the cultural models, whether it was slender, beautiful women, were everywhere. They were still in magazines, on TV, in movies, reinforced every way by the culture. Social media, of course, just intensified how quickly, how often we're subjected to the cultural surround. And young people are big users of social media. And, you know, you've heard of the fear of missing out, which is another social media affliction, that looking at the wonderful life that others seem to be living, whether it's an Instagram photo of, you know, a beautifully made up young woman, or a Facebook post of a bunch of people you might know having a great time without you, you know, it's a different kind of pressure. And it's why the social media increase, the social oriented perfectionism has risen most sharply in the last 10 years.
Well, and I think it's interesting because certainly all those things were going on back, for instance, when I was in college. People were having great times. People were, you know, doing all the things that people today are, but we didn't see it. We didn't see it nonstop.
It was not in our face, and
exactly.
Certainly not in our Facebooks. And that's what's made it different, and that's why social media imposes its own kind of perfectionism, if you allow it to. And it's different, very different from self-oriented perfectionism, or even from what's broadly called socially oriented perfectionism, which is being oriented toward the standards of somebody outside yourself, your parents, your high school teachers, your professors, your admissions directors, somebody whose standards you need to meet in order to be part of that.
You know, I think back a couple decades and kind of the worst that we got faced with that was, I mean, you said TV and things like that, but it was those holiday family letters where when you would read them, it was like every child was, you know, on the verge of being a Nobel laureate and, you know.
But
it was once a year.
It was once a year, along with the Norman Rockwell Happy Family.
We're talking with Jane Addams. She's a social psychologist, writer, and coach. She recently wrote a piece for the New York Times called More College Students Majoring in Perfectionism. And Jane, you talked about working with parents a lot in your coaching practice. Can you give us some ideas of specific things that parents are noticing or what's kind of setting off alarms for them?
Well, the alarms are the either depression or procrastination or just plain short-temperedness, because you're cranky when you're procrastinating something you should be doing. But it was more the procrastination and the depression and the anxiety, you know, oh, I'll never get this done, or it's so difficult. It's not going to be, you know, nearly as good as it has to be, those kinds of messages. And you know, what parents can best do is to hear their kids, to listen to them, and to give them some worthwhile advice, which is do the best you can in the time you have. And then, you know, send them back to school and listen to them when they complain and keep reminding them that, you know, things they thought weren't good enough before were plenty good enough. Remember the SAT scores you sure you were bombing on? They got you into college.
And so it's one of the things
for that.
Is one of the things that we should maybe be focusing more on with young people, instead of praising them for things that they, when they do, you know, get the top score or really rise above the crowd, is part of it praising them for, you know, maybe being a well-rounded person or for being a good friend or a good member of the family, like some of those more intrinsic values, instead of everything being, you know, set with a kind of a scale of how you're doing compared to others?
Well, that's true. The other thing you can do when they say, hey, guess what? I got an A. You can say, that's terrific, honey. How do you feel about it? Because maybe she's, or I got a B. And you say, that's terrific. How do you feel about it? And if she says, I should have gotten an A, you remind her that, you know, she did the best. If she did the best she could in the time that she had, she did a good enough job. And then send her a care package, you know. We need to understand, but unless the depression really gets almost clinically bad, that you can't function at all, or get out of bed, or he, it's not anything we have to, I think, really worry about. It's a matter of understanding their perspective and easing their anxiety is the best way that we can. But I think the best response is always, "That's terrific, honey. How do you feel about it?" Because, or how did that make you feel, you know?
Because maybe that bee was actually way better than she was expecting she was going to get, and it's a real accomplishment.
Yeah, she might have said, really surprised because I didn't study for it that much. I mean, you know, that's an open-ended question.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Jane Addams, a social psychologist, writer, and coach. Her latest piece for the New York Times is More College Students Majoring in Perfectionism. And you can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. Are you a college student struggling with this issue? Do you work in a college setting and see this or something similar? Or maybe you're a parent and you're worried about your child. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're continuing the conversation about an increase in perfectionism among college students. We're talking with Jane Addams. She's a social psychologist, writer, and coach. And we'd like to hear from you. Call us at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like you need to get things perfect? Are you a parent who sees it in your child? Do you think pressures to be perfect have changed in the last decade or so? And how has social media contributed to it? Share your thoughts. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR or give us a call at 800-642-1234. And Jane, you talk about a scale for perfectionism that you can take a brief quiz to find out where you stand. What kind of things indicate a tendency towards perfectionism?
Oh, there are 44 items on that particular scale, ranging from I never do as well as my friends do, to other people do better than I do, to I only have to live up to my ideas. You know, they're those kinds of questions that will elicit feelings enough to be scored, feelings of perfectionism. And some will hardly register. Some will just, you know, not have enough, will have negligible amount of perfectionism in them because people are different. But for people who are perfectionists, it's a good guide on where your perfectionism is oriented toward yourself, in which case, you know, there are a number of cognitive behavioral ways to modify that so that it doesn't cause you anxiety. But generally, a certain amount of self-oriented perfectionism is what gets most students where they probably are right now. And, you know, it's generally associated with success and conscientiousness. So perfectionism to that degree is a positive thing. It's negative when it interferes with the rest of your life. And fully functioning in those other areas of your life and causes you unhappiness.
Let's go to
And it's fueled somewhat. This is a very competitive world that most college students live in, that we all live in. They had to struggle to get as far as they've gotten. They know they're going to have to struggle in a very competitive field to get a job when they get out. They've been struggling for a long time. And the competition is keeping them on their toes if it's not, you know, knocking them off their feet. So it's not surprising that as society gets more competitive, that there's less room at the top or even on the way up, perfectionism would increase.
Let's take a call at 800-642-1234. And Kathy in Stevens Point is up first. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, I was just listening to what the speaker was saying, and my daughter is going into pre-med, so she feels like she has to get a 4.0 to be competitive to get into med school, and I've seen also some of her friends who are trying to get into nursing. That's very competitive as well. trying for the same thing so that they can make it in the field they've chosen. So I think part of this is the competition, as you said.
And Kathy, what have you as a parent found to be helpful in trying to support your daughter?
Well, I do, talk to her about not needing to get a 4.0 is not, I don't think it's mandatory, but she seems to believe it is with a 4-year plan that she was given. So,
Thanks for that call, Kathy. And Jane, does that sound familiar to you?
It sounds very familiar. I have interviewed one man who's said to his son, perfect is the enemy of good. And his son said, yeah, but good won't get me into medical school. And he's right. But again, that's other oriented. It's oriented toward a set of standards that somebody else has set. And some people will get in and some people won't. Doesn't mean that you don't meet your own standards, but your own standards need to be reasonable. And, you know, in a very competitive world, it's just very difficult not to need to be perfect if good you are afraid is just not good enough.
It also seems like it's backing up in life as well, because now it seems like there are so many expectations of high school students to show that not only do they have the grades, but they're doing volunteering and they're well-rounded, they're doing sports and maybe theater. And it seems like it's getting younger and younger that these expectations are being presented and then internalized by young people.
That's true. They internalize them. And what we as parents can do is to offer another perspective. And to suggest that they step back and take another perspective. Like, what will this matter in the long run? What will happen if my grades aren't good enough to get into college, the college I want? What will happen if I, don't get into any college? You play out the what will happen if. What's the worst thing that could happen? And that helps to some extent. But I think reminding them that in all but a very few cases, perfect is, in fact, the enemy of good.
Let's go back to the phones, and Dan in Menominee is up. Hi, Dan.
Hey, so I'm a college student at UW-Stout. I just wanted to say that with so many kids today, and me, myself included, kind of striving toward, doing things right and competing with one another, it seems like we're creating a group of people who would rather be in competition with one another than work with one another. And I just don't know that that's the most constructive thing for us as a society. I'll take my call off the air.
Great. Thanks so much for that call, Dan. And Jane, that's a really interesting idea that
yes,
this perfectionism
yes.
is fueling competition, too.
Yeah. What are you going to do when there's no more top at the ladder? I think working for your own goals, particularly in education, learning for the sake of learning is as important, as more important than learning for the sake of grades.
Let's go back to the phones, and Gail in Fish Creek is up next. Hi, Gail.
Oh, hi. This is a really great topic. I've encountered so many people in my journey that have really struggled with this, and there's attention to detail, and then there's something else that just gets your persona stuck. And it reminds me of a few lines in a Leonard Cohen song where it's, forget your perfect offering, ring the bells that still can ring. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in.
Wow.
And if we're perfect too early in our lives, We close off, we don't grow, we don't bring more light in our life. And I really think that we reach perfection in our last breath before we die.
Wow. Well, Gail, thank you so much for sharing those lyrics and those sentiments. And Jane, yeah, there's a lot there.
There certainly is. Competition for the sake of competition is not always the end all and be all. There are some people who need to win at all costs. But when the costs are self-flagellation and unhappiness and always falling short of somebody's expectations, either your own or someone else's. It's nice to put competition aside and focus on what you're doing for the intrinsic value it has to you.
I'm just thinking here, Jane, that, you know, if we are striving for perfection all the time in all different areas, you know, whether it's grades in things as different as math and art and music, you know, it's the rare person that is going to be even excellent, let alone perfect, in all these different areas. How much does that affect how we are able to like and love ourselves if we're always measuring ourselves against this unattainable goal?
Oh, I think you've really put your finger on something, Judith. What we lose in an overfocus on perfectionism is self-compassion. We lose compassion for ourselves and humility to a certain extent, to know that, you know, we are only human, therefore we are imperfect.
And are we harder on ourselves than we are on others around us generally?
Yes, I think so. I think we are.
And so maybe part of it is trying to have that compassion and that gentleness and that kindness that we might extend to a good friend, extending that to ourselves.
Exactly. We're usually the last person we think of when we think about being compassionate and caring for others. Part of caring for yourself is knowing what your limits are.
And Jane, thank you so much for being with us today. It was a great conversation.
Thank you.
That was Jane Addams. She's a psychologist, coach, and writer. She joined us to talk about her recent piece for the New York Times, More College Students Majoring in Perfectionism.